Slate Family Foundation Legacy Program was created to support artists who have dedicated their lives to music and who now struggle to maintain mental wellness and an adequate standard of living. Loneliness and social isolation are key risk factors for mental health conditions later in life. This May, during Mental Health Awareness Month, the Unison Fund is asking you to support Canadian legacy artists and musicians. For more information on this lifeline of hope, visit unisonfund.ca.
Think of your children pledging allegiance to the maple leaf. Mayonnaise on everything. Winter, 11 months of the year. Anne Murray, all day, every day.
CJUM FM 101.5, running on 100% Canadian volunteer power.
Thank you. evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 52nd Street, Winnipeg, home of classic jazz. My name is Jay. For the next hour, I'll be your host right here on 101.5 UMFM. And we're continuing with our summer concert series. Now, we are going back in time. I was going to do this one this summer. In fact, it's been a long time since we've done this one. And I was just looking through the archives, and I think the last time I did this concert might have been 2005. So it's been a while. But welcome. Welcome to 52nd Street. Thanks so much for listening. And of course, during the summer months, we take an opportunity to feature different performers and have a chance to listen to them at length. And so taking these live performances, it gives you a sense of what it would have been like to have been present at some of these great recordings and listening to these musicians live. Special performance for you tonight. This one's from July of 1944, July the 2nd. So it's the very first Jazz at the Philharmonic. Now, let's just back up a little bit. How does this all start? Norman Granz is a jazz impresario and promoter, and he borrows $300 and puts on a concert. Now, the concert was put together very, very rapidly because it was done as a fundraiser for a group of Hispanic youth who were believed to be wrongly imprisoned as a consequence of the Zoot Suit riots in Los Angeles in 1944. So he did what we've seen done many, many times since, which is get the other group of musicians to raise money for the defense of these people he believed to be innocent. So he takes $300 and he tries to book a variety of places in Los Angeles and ends up at the Philharmonic Auditorium in Los Angeles. And so what was supposed to originally be called a jazz concert at the Philharmonic Auditorium gets shortened by the printer. To say Jazz at the Philharmonic. And because of the wild popularity and success of this, he ends up putting on a series of these concerts. And so this is the first one. And then there's a tour that happens in late fall and winter of 1945. And they continue all the way through until 1959. And we've played different shows before. There's some phenomenal moments. There's moments when Charlie Parker's playing with Lester Young. There's moments when Oscar Peterson, I think we played in Japan, Ella Fitzgerald, the list goes on. And so it gets criticized heavily, Jazz at the Philharmonic, because it's often called circus performance or circus music rather than jazz, and you kind of hear the excitement on the stage. What you also hear is a spontaneity. I don't know if you heard it in the first track, but there's actually a point where there's a solo happening, and someone's yelling in the background, "Bass is next, bass is next," as in who's going to take the next solo. Now, who was here and who was part of this group? So you heard Shorty Chirac as we started off with Bugle Call Rag. He, of course, is a very famous West Coast trumpeter. J.J. Johnson on trombone, whose technique is legendary. Two tenor saxophone players. You'll hear the rich, deep tone of Jack McVeigh, who was, by this point, a burgeoning R&B star. And then Illinois Jacquette, who, of course, had come to prominence with Lionel Hampton's band. And you'll hear him repeatedly doing these high notes that he was very, very, very famous for and became, criticized or not, in high demand at the Jazz at the Philharmonic performances. You also have a really interesting rhythm section. Nat King Cole is on piano, playing, I think, just great piano. You know, we think of Nat King Cole, and of course, a great singer that he is, but you forget how talented he was as a piano player. Interestingly, he's not joined by his rhythm section. It's Johnny Miller on bass, and Lee Young, Lester Young's brother, actually on drums. The guitar player, and you just heard him playing brilliantly and interesting sort of harmonics in that first song, is Les Paul. Oscar Moore, who was Nat King Cole's guitar player, didn't make the concert, so Les Paul was the last minute addition. So all of this to say is that you've got this sort of all-star lineup thrown together at the last minute to raise money. And you know, whether you're a critic or whether you love it, the reality is there is no performance in jazz that captures the excitement of a live performance and what happens when you put these musicians and they start dueling together and trying to cut each other back and forth and captures all of that live. And I think that's why they became so popular. A couple of really quick pieces. Even though it had been done previously, including at Carnegie Hall in 1938, this is really one of the first high-profile integrated, racially integrated bands. And Norman Granz, to his credit, was very, very staunch on this point. In fact, as time passed, he would actually cancel dates rather than having his performance play in segregated theater. So someone who took a very, very strong stance on the social justice side. The other thing is about Grant himself. He, of course, founded the Verve record label. And he also had done Clef and Norgren Records, and he sold those to MGM in 1961, and then later started Pablo, the Pablo label, which, of course, is a famous jazz label as well. He was actually very, very well respected by the musicians because he paid fairly, and he made sure that he actually did pay them, which is one of the reasons he could get the kind of quality musicians that he did. So as Jazz at Philharmonic goes on, it becomes a bit of a staple. Oscar Peterson plays for a number of years. Illinois Jacquette really becomes a hit. Flip Phillips from Woody Herman's band. And it becomes unto itself its own sort of jazz phenomenon. But we're listening to the very first concert, and you have to remember this is organized for the purpose of raising money for a very good cause at the time. We're going to hear a couple of songs in a row. We're going to go into a version of Lester Leaps In. And so the idea here is you're going to hear very, very simple kind of head arrangements and then just a whole bunch of improvisation and people pushing each other back and forth. So we're going to hear Lester Leaps In and then T for Two, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about blues. And we're going to play a couple more tracks. We're going to try to play as many tracks as we can from this first performance. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Imagine you're at the Philharmonic Theater in beautiful Los Angeles, California. July 2nd, 1944. No one has seen this before, but this is a concert designed to be exciting, and it is a concert designed to have musicians compete for your entertainment. Here now, Lester Leaps In. Ha ha.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
You having fun listening to this one? Jazz Philharmonic, the very first concert from July 2nd, 1944 at the Philharmonic Theater in New York, Los Angeles. Just our two in a row. We started off with Lester Leaps In and then T for Two. Started both just head arrangements, pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Lester Leaps In is a really simple arrangement. Of course, made famous by Lester Young. The Kansas City Seven way back in 1936, and T for Two is just a song that everybody and their dog had recorded. So it's interesting to me, a couple of pieces. Number one is T for Two, probably one of the most famous recordings of T for Two is Art Tatum's T for Two, which is this virtuoso sort of piano piece where you can't quite keep track of what's happening because there's so much happening, and it's sort of genius personified. And they give a ton of time to Nat King Cole. And I don't know if you could hear it or not. If you're in a car, you won't be able to hear it because there'll be too much ambient noise. But if you're at home and listening and it's turned up just the right way, you can hear them talking on stage. And because there's nothing formal, right? There's nothing written down. It's let's play ahead and then take a bunch of solos. You're next, you're next, you're next. And there's different points, right? And you can actually hear if you listen to it in T for Two. And then, I'm not sure who it was. It could be the bass player. But someone was kind of coaxing that King Cole along. It's a brilliant solo, of course. And you could hear it going, yeah, take it, it's great. And then after that, the Yellow Jacket and Illinois Jacket comes in. The other thing I'm noticing, and you've probably tuned into this as well, if you're listening, is that Illinois Jacket does these crazy high note solos. And not the first, obviously, to do that in jazz. And there's a sort of a long history of that, dating back probably most prominently to Louis Armstrong's West End Blues recording in 1927 when he does 50 high C's in a row, and the kind of embouchure that you need for that's incredible. And Illinois Jacquet actually does the same, and you can actually hear it in that last track. He does it in one of his recordings of Jet Propulsion from about a year or two earlier, where he does the same high C tribute, but he does it, and he just did it in T for Two as well. So lots and lots of tribute to different musicians happening through this, and some quotes here and there. So listen for them the next one. So the next one we're going to do two in a row. We're going to start off with a song called Blues, just a straight ahead blues, and then I Found a New Baby, another jazz standard. And then we'll come back and finish. Hopefully we'll have enough time to do another song. We'll see how it goes. But listen to this one, because Illinois Jacquet, you hear Jack McVay coming in with this sort of beautiful, melodic kind of tenor, this deep, beautiful sound, and you can hear why he sort of hits the R&B charts, because he has a way of expressing himself that's really accessible. And then Illinois Jacquet comes in and does this really high note thing. Here in blues, he's going to tone it down a bit. And Jacquet is everyone talks about sort of the high notes. He is a masterful player and a very interesting musician. In fact, I'll try to remind myself to play it one day again, but in 1969 he records an album called The Blues That's Me and plays the classic blues song Wild Midnight on the bassoon. So he is much more than just a one-dimensional player. He's got an immense amount of soul, and we're gonna hear a little bit of it here on the song called Blues, and then I Found a New Baby. But listen for it, because after Jacquet solos, almost every time they put, I guess, Les Paul. But Les Paul just comes in at such a different angle. He's just doing something totally different. It doesn't matter what Jacquet did before, because he's taking a totally different angle. And his solos are amazing. His use of blue notes and harmonics, probably a lot ahead of everybody else in this group. Nat King Cole might be the exception. But everyone else is playing pretty standard on this. And Les Paul is playing something that technically is brilliant, of course, if you're guitar player, but harmonically is a little bit different than everybody else. See if you can pick up all things. We're gonna play Blues, and then I Found a New Baby right here on 52nd Street. Yeah. I said I was going to play two in a row, but you know what? We are running out of time, so I'm going to interfere for just a second. You know, just before we got into that version of blues, which I talked a little bit about the harmonies of Les Paul, and you heard it there because he was just doing something and the audience loved it and the musicians were loving it because you can hear them laughing on stage and just having fun. And I also said to you that the person that was probably keeping up was Nat King Cole, and I think you have a sense of the kind of talent that he had, where he is sitting listening and replicating those things. Like, what an incredible ear. You can see why he is the talent that he was. All right, we're going to end with I Found a New Baby because we're running out of time. I can't play, unfortunately, Body and Soul, which is a nice one to end on. Actually, I could instead of I Found a New Baby. Should we go with something soft? Let's do it something soft. Okay, we're going to do let's do Body and Soul instead of I Found a New Baby. I hope you've liked it. This has been a fine concert. And this is one of those ones where you don't have to know a ton about jazz. You just have to be able to listen and kind of go, oh, that's interesting, right? Like, this is fun. And you can hear when these guys are on stage just having fun, it just makes it so much more interesting. The fact that it's all recorded is just absolutely sensational, right? Like, you know, hearing them just kind of goad each other on and, hey, let's do this or do that, hey, are you next, or keep going, or, hey, I love what you're doing there. And when you're listening to it, you can just, like, this is what a jam session sounds like. We're just everybody kind of kicking around some ideas, and Illinois Jack Cat coming in and trying to be competitive as the young guy that he is, and and people just having fun. And the audience, you heard, really, really responding to that with a rapture, right? When you heard that interaction between Nat King Cole and Les Paul, which, you know, when you think about it in that context, how incredible is that? But you could hear just the audience is enraptured and laughing and just hanging on those notes. And if you were too, then you were for just a minute part of that audience as well. And that's the whole point of our series. So until next week, next Sunday night at 8, this is Jay saying, take it easy. Don't forget to support your local jazz scene. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to end tonight now with Body and Soul, a little programming change, much like Jazz of the Philharmonic itself. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week. And here now, from the very first Jazz of the Philharmonic concert, the ensemble coming together to play the jazz standard and the classic, Body and Soul. The top of 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 the top of
Thank you.